Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those joining us are online affiliates around the world. Glad you all could be with us as well. Our next guest and I were just talking. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years since he was last on our program. It seems so funny the way the time has been going. But best-selling author Renee Rosen is back with a brand new book. It's called The Social Graces. We're going to talk to her not only about her own love of history, but what it was about this particular time period and these characters that really spoke to her that made her want to be able to write about them. You guys are going to really enjoy this book. We'll let you guys know how to be able to get it for yourself, as well as how you can stay connected with Renee as well. Renee, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me back. It's great to be with you again.
Well, Renee, you have given us another great book. We're going to get into The Social Graces. But what has it been like for you to kind of combine your love of history and storytelling and to bring them together in your books the way that you do?
You know, one of the best things about what I do is, you know, that I love is that I get to find a new subject each time and I get to learn about it. You know, I tend to take on subjects I don't know a great deal about, and then it's just, you know, it becomes a great education for me to go back and learn as much as I can, do the research, and then, you know, weave it together with, you know, the fictional side.
Yeah. Well, you've done it in such a great way in this book, but what I think is so interesting about The Social Graces, Renee, and you can kind of give us more of the backstory, is that we have, of course, an interesting time in history, but these individuals, these women, Alva and Carolina, are definitely ones that I think are so relatable today. How did you come about this particular story that made you want to write about it?
Well, it's interesting. After I had finished Park Avenue Summer, I was really racking my brain to figure out what am I going to write about next. And it was as if my agent and my editor crossed, their emails must have just crossed in cyberspace. And I remember my agent said, what about something with Consuelo Vanderbilt? And like 2 seconds later, my editor sends an email and said, how about Gilded Age New York? It's like, I know a sign when I see one. So I started doing some research, and I just, you know, became fascinated by this rivalry between Caroline Astor, who, you know, she preferred to be called Mrs. Astor or the Mrs. Astor. She was the reigning queen of society, and the upstart Alva Vanderbilt, who just really, all the money in the world wasn't going to get her access to society. She just could not buy her way in. She had to find other ways.
And I have to say, I knew none of this backstory, which is what made the book so interesting. But as you are so good at doing, and it leads me to my next question, Renee, especially talking about Caroline, I love the fact that you talk about the time, but it also is so 2021 in that she was a part of a world that she almost felt as though the world was her, and without it, she was nothing. You actually said that, that she would mean nothing. Without that world, what was that like for you to see how, even in that time, it's such an interesting parallel to where we are today, where so many people are, you know, are excited about being famous just to be famous?
Yeah, you know, what really helped me to access Caroline Astor as a character was to begin to think of her as like the CEO of a major corporation, which was pretty much how she ran society. And I think on some level, she recognized that she had basically engineered society. It really didn't exist before she and her sidekick, Ward McAllister, had joined forces. So I think she sort of knew, like, this really doesn't matter. And yet, on the other hand, she knew, but this is all we have. As a woman in the 1870s, you know, they didn't work outside the home. They had, you know, very few rights and privileges. They were, you know, at the mercy of their husbands and fathers. And here was an arena where a woman could exercise some influence. You know, she had to plan those 9-course dinner parties, and she determined the menu and the guest list and the party favors, and that gave a woman in that time period, that was something that she could latch on to. And, you know, the more celebrated the hostess, the more powerful the woman.
Yeah. And what about Alva? What was it like for you to be able to take a peek into her history and how she became who she was?
Yeah, so much has been written about Alva. She's really a fascinating woman. And I think the main thing that I was really drawn to in her was that she was so headstrong. She could not be controlled. She wasn't going to let anyone tell her what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and consequences be damned. You know, she really was very impulsive. She didn't care what kind of backlash she was going to have to endure as long as she got her way in the moment. And, you know, she was very unconventional. And, you know, no one would ever have made her mother of the year. Goodness knows what she put her daughter Consuelo through was horrible. But there was also an element of a woman who dearly loved her children, wanted it, what was best for them. I think in her heart of hearts, she thought it was best, you know, that forcing her daughter, for example, to marry a duke, that was really going to be in Consuelo's best interest. But she was just so so complicated and so insatiable. You know, she wanted to be the reigning queen herself of society and did everything in her power to take Caroline Astor down. And then I think when she got to the top of the mountain, she kind of looked around and thought, is this all there is? This isn't enough. And then she went on and got very involved with the women's suffrage movement. And, you know, she was really a trailblazer in many ways.
So the way you told this book is really interesting because you give us a snapshot as to the two women I've mentioned already, Caroline and Alva, but also there is, I mean, the narrative almost of society. What was that like for you to kind of give us a almost like a narrative view of the actions of these women and those that were in their lives?
Well, so this was my editor and I kind of put our heads together and came up with this idea of the Greek chorus, you know, sort of say, which was society. And I think we sort of came full circle in this. When I first started writing the book, I had initially started writing it in third person omniscient narrator, which is a really difficult point of view. It's hard to get the reader close to the characters with that point of view. I think I wrote about 100 pages and was like, yeah, that's not quite working. And then I started over again using an unnamed narrator. And the problem was I had no idea who the narrator was. By the time I got to the end, I'm like, who's telling this story? So then we came up with this idea of what if there was a voice sort of peppered throughout the book that was society, that could convey certain tidbits of information and perspectives that Caroline couldn't have and Alva couldn't have because it was too close to them. And they were some of the most difficult writing, those sections, but I think that they add an element of fun and also sort of round out the story so you get the full picture of what was going on in the time.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think, too, you know, there's a lot, I think, that we – you know, kind of get almost a clearer perspective in even how, not just with those two, but also with Ward McElser, which you've referenced, I want to talk about. I want to first say, for those who are just tuning in, though, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome back author Renee Rosen to our program today. We're talking to Renee not only about her new book, The Social Graces, but also what it was like for her to explore this time period and these remarkable characters. And then, of course, they're bringing to life in her new novel. So let's talk about McElser, because I think that this is an interesting thing. I mean, you mentioned, of course, the connection and the closeness with Caroline. What was it like for you to find out more about Ward?
Ward was such a quirky, fun character. I mean, I could not have dreamed him up. You know, fact is certainly stranger than fiction. And, you know, he was an odd little guy with a paunch and an unkept goatee. And yet he claimed that he was the tastemaker of the day, that this was the guy who was supposed to be the leading authority on all things style and etiquette. And he would call out a hostess if she didn't frappe her wine just so. And, you know, he himself, ironically, was not really all that wealthy, but he married a woman who was wealthy. Unfortunately, though, his wife had some health conditions, and a lot of the time she was just bedridden, and so she did not accompany him to the opera or to various balls. And at the same time, Caroline Astor's husband was either off on his yacht, or he was drunk, or he was canoodling with, you know, prostitutes and other women, or all of the above. And so Wardster became Caroline's escort, and also the man who helped her engineer society. And, you know, together they created this 400 list. And it was literally 400 families that Ward McAllister deemed were in fashionable New York society. He said, if you go outside that number, you strike people who either are not comfortable in a ballroom or else they make others uncomfortable in a ballroom. And he went on and published this in the New York Times, much to all of New York who wasn't on that 400 list, to their horror. You know, people read those names on the newspaper and just went into a panic. And, of course, if Mrs. Astor was holding a ball and you weren't invited because you weren't on that 400 list, you either went out of town or you sat at home with all the lights off so that people would think you were out of town, because there had to be a good reason why you weren't at Mrs. Astor's ball. And then to add real insult to injury, Ward McAllister published this tell-all memoir called Society as I Found It, where he did not name names, but he certainly outed everyone. It was very transparent who he was talking about. He told everybody's, you know, secrets, and he kind of became a social pariah as a result of that. He was a bit like Truman Capote, you know, who really sort of used all of his friends and, you know, wrote his memoir. And, you know, so at the end, he was sort of out on his own. He actually died all alone while eating at the gentleman's club, the Knickerbocker.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. I wasn't sure if you wanted to, but I love the fact that you mentioned with Caroline when she got to chapter 17 of the book, and, of course, she realized what he had done. And I think it's so interesting because how she felt, but considering the way that she seemed to treat people, the fact that she would be surprised, you know, that, you know, almost getting, you know, a taste of her own medicine in many respects, you know, of viewing, but I think to have it kind of out there for the world to see says a lot. Did you find that, I think, and I really appreciate you sharing the story too, Renee, because I didn't know it about, you know, after your last book, wondering what you were going to do next. Was there a thing that really made you say, wow, I had no idea, ... when it came to discovering more about Caroline and Alva?
Yeah, one of the things that really fascinated me, you know, I assumed that society was society. You know, you're a Vanderbilt, you don't get much more prestigious than that, do you? And yet they were not in society. So that society was really divided into two camps. You had the old money, which were the Knickerbockers, and these were the descendants of the first Dutch settlers in New York. And Caroline Astor was a Knickerbocker, and that was American royalty. And they felt that one's money should be inherited, not earned, so they didn't care for railroad money. And they were very understated. They were very refined. They had massive homes, but they weren't flashy. They didn't dress in the worst ball gowns. They dressed in very sort of plain but, you know, nicely tailored gowns. And they did not like to call attention to themselves. And then all of a sudden you have the robber barons. You have the Vanderbilts and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers and these families after the Civil War who came into immense wealth. And they were the nouveau riche, and they started flooding to New York where there were opportunities. And these people could not wait to show off their wealth. So it was like, why wear one ring when you got 10 fingers? You might as well wear 10 rings. And why, you know, why have just a plain house when you can make it a French Chateau in the middle of Fifth Avenue. And so it really sort of became almost like the tail wagging the dog, where suddenly the Knickerbockers are looking at the Nouveau Riche and going, they're kind of out, you know, outdoing us. We need to up our game. And at that point, it became just an all-out competition of who could outspend, who could outdress, who could out-entertain, and up until the point where they just choked on their own conspicuous consumption.
Yeah, it is really remarkable, and I think too a lot of fun. So, what has that been like for you? As you know, the reviews are already coming in, Renee. What has it been like for you to see how much readers are enjoying the story too?
Oh, I am so thrilled with that. You know, we have all been through such a horrific year, and it's been so tough. And I think people really need an escape. And so I've just been thrilled that people have found themselves just getting lost in this world. And, you know, it's really a romp through the Gilded Age. You know, the balls that readers will go to, reenacting the balls is really one of my favorite parts of the book, because I just, again, could not believe that these things actually happened. You know, that people threw dog balls and horse balls, and, you know, animals were all the rage. So you had to have a theme for your ball. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun doing the research, and then a lot of fun to do my best to recreate it on the page.
Well, I tell you, it is a great read, and I know that readers are excited about it. So talk to us about how you are navigating the normal that we find ourselves in, Renee. It's definitely different than 2019. You know, I think
Absolutely.
These days people are longing for, you know, the days of 2019 when, you know, going to meet an author like yourself or spending time getting a book signed in person seemed like just a normal thing. Well, that's not as normal this year. So what have you been doing to kind of connect with your readers?
Yeah, you know, it's very different. I love meeting with readers, and I, you know, when I do a presentation at a bookstore, I'm able to see people's faces. I'm able to connect with them. And, you know, doing a lot of Zoom events where you're really speaking into a green dot on your laptop, you have no idea if you're connecting with people, you know, are they with you or are they bored? What's going on? And so that's been a bit of a challenge, but, you know, we had a wonderful event last night, and it was just so fun. We zoomed in with one of my favorite local indie bookstores, and, you know, it was a conversation I had with Melanie Benjamin, whose New York Times, her most recent book is The Children's Blizzard, and it was just fun. It's a different way to present a book, but the beauty of it is that, you know, people from anywhere can participate. And, you know, we had people who, you know, I'm in Chicago, we had people that were calling in and, you know, on the Zoom event from Dallas and LA and New York, and, you know, that was really nice, and that couldn't happen. You know, we didn't think to connect that way pre-COVID. So I think that's kind of been a bit of a silver lining in all of this. And I'm hoping that going forward that we'll be able to do a hybrid of, I think it'd be great to do in-store events, but also be able to live stream them to people anywhere. And, you know, just so everything, of course, has gone virtual online. When it's safe and I can, I'm sort of sneaking into bookstores and signing stock and doing things like that. But I do miss, you know, not being able to see people in person. And, you know, that part I really do miss.
Yeah. Well, I know that they're anxious to be able to meet you again in person. And in the interim, though, we definitely invite them to head over to either Amazon.com or their favorite local bookstore and order the new book again. The Social Graces is the title. Renee, another great conversation with you. How can our audience stay connected with you and, of course, be able to keep up with your schedule?
I'm on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Renee Rosen Author, on Twitter, Renee Rosen 1, Instagram, Renee Rosen _. My website, ReneeRosen.com. Feel free to sign up for my newsletter, and I'll keep you up to date on everything. And I love hearing from readers and friends, so I'm pretty accessible, and I really love meeting with book clubs and all that. I do a lot of that.
All right. Renee, congratulations to you again. Thank you so much for the time, and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Great. Thank you, Cyrus.
Hey, thank you, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.